especially in the book of Proverbs. We're not going to see all the verses. In fact, I looked up, I just typed into the word search in my Bible program the word friend. And there's 100 or so references about friends all through the Old and New Testament. We don't really typically think about the Bible as a place where I might find wisdom about friends. But then that's because sometimes we forget to read our Bibles and see what it says about friends and what they have to say. You might remember that I mentioned this morning that one of my best friends is Jeremy Penrod, a pastor down at Temple Baptist Church in Lincoln. And we grew up together. We grew up together ever since that my family moved to Lincoln and started attending Temple Baptist Church. So we grew up in Awana and then youth group and then serving there as college guys and then at college together. We were roommates and all the way through until after I left college. He was in seminary. We didn't see each other as much then, but when I left for Michigan to go to seminary, then we were out of touch for a while. But it's a great opportunity to have a good friend, to be able to call up and say, how you doing? In our case, to call each other up and harass each other every so often. It's a lot of fun. Nothing like going and picking on somebody at the same time knowing that you have a great friendship and love for one another. Friends are very valuable, and we need to make sure. Tonight I want you to see the value of friends, and then not only the value of friends, but seeing the fact that we do need to make good choices in friends. And that seems odd. Now, we got a couple teens here, and that's what we think of kids and teens, about the good friends they should have. But we as adults are also influenced by the people we're around. We don't really observe that so much, but we are. When we are around those people and the way they talk, we begin talking like them sometimes. Not necessarily wrong, it can be. Or the attitudes and things that they have, so we still have to make good choices there. We're going to look at the acts of a good friend with the goal of the unknown friend. That's the one that you're going to make this week. The unknown friend. Tonight, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, the value of a good friend. Look, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Now, we won't talk about every aspect that we could, but Proverbs chapter 17 gives us one of those aspects of a friend. Proverbs 17, verse 17, we read, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And I say a big amen to that. I had one brother. He was 4 years younger than I am. He's 4 inches taller than I am, and a whole lot uglier. A brother is born for adversity, and we fought like cats and dogs. But we loved each other as well. A friend is a person that's always on your side, almost. They're there for you. And there are those friends which are closer than even a brother. Now, some have taken this verse and applied it, to interpret it in a way that it's not intended to be interpreted. That is, they say, well, Jesus is that friend. The writer of the Proverbs did not intend that. That is a true saying. As application, Jesus is indeed closer than a brother. But here he's talking about your friend that you have. In my case, my friend is closer than my brother. My brother's in Colorado, and my friend's in Lincoln. So they are closer that way. Other than that, I'm not sure I would say closer in camaraderie. But the friend is there for you when you need them. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12 says something similar. We're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs, so you could stay there. But here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting at verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they will have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There is something very valuable about a friend in the fact that they're there for you when you need them. You can ask them for wisdom and guidance and counsel, and they're there. That's the value of a good friend. Along with that is loving honesty. Go over a few pages to chapter 27. Chapter 27 in verse 6, we read that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now that seems very strange. Would we rather have bruises or kisses? Depending on the gender, I suppose. But or a handshake, hearty handshake, right? We'd rather have the hearty handshake or a hug, or if it's our wife, a kiss, than we would a bruise. Because we enjoy that being loved. Here it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Ask yourself this, would you rather have somebody come up to you and be very nice and compliment you in order to get you to buy what they're selling? Would you rather have somebody like that, or would you rather have a friend look at you and say, I love you, man, but you do not match whatsoever? You're used to that. Your wife tells you all the time, doesn't she? I heard a statistic, something that women do for their men 90% of the time. Tell them how to dress. We'd rather, in all honesty, have a little bit of advice or even rebuke from a friend who we know is telling us out of concern than we would to have somebody just fawn all over us but not really care about us. We all would like that. Well, there's great value in loving, in being lovingly honest. Well, a good friend is there for you when you need them. They're lovingly honest, and they give helpful insight. Drop down to verse 9. Ointments and perfumes delight the heart. You put some smelly stuff on, and as long as it smells good, it makes you happy. Or maybe you have somebody walk by, and you notice their perfume or their cologne. Is, well, that's a nice smell, right? It says, the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. A good friend can give helpful insight. You could be in a situation, and if they're not in that situation, you can share with them, and you can know they're going to give you good, solid, wise counsel if it's a good friend. And sometimes having that person on the outside looking in can sometimes set you straight or clarify your thinking on what you can do. So we can see the value of a good friend as we encourage each other. Along with that, we need to consider the choice of a good friend. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Now, here is a very difficult verse. And I am going to go with the reading of the majority of them. In the King James Version, reads, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces him. Literally, it reads this, the righteous searches his companion, and the way of the wicked causes them to err. So now we're really confused, right? This is how the majority of the other translations take it. This is from the New King James, and several others followed this kind of translation. The righteous should choose his friends wisely, For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Isn't that true? We have to be wise. We're always concerned about our kids. We want the friends that they hang around not to be going around bad-mouthing, using bad language, teaching our kids bad things, showing them bad things. Why? Because we are trying our best, working hard. Listen up, boys. Working hard to try to get them to grow up to be young men and lady who will serve the Lord and enjoy God's blessings. We want that. And whether that means they're involved in ministry, in full-time ministry, or they're just involved in a church, we're excited that all the boys are saved, and we pray for the little girl that the time will come for her to recognize what the truth is, and to put her trust in Jesus Christ, and want to see, we want that because then we'll know, we're going to see them in heaven. But we also want that because we know it's best for them. We're trying to train them the right way. And we listen, don't watch this kind of stuff. Because, not saying don't watch this kind of stuff. We're watching because, no, but don't watch this kind of stuff. Because it's not good for you. Some of it not age appropriate. Some of it because it's just bad TV or movies and we wouldn't watch anyway. Why? Because it's going to influence them. The friends they hang around, the music they listen to, everything has an influence. I was listening, Dawn was telling me, I mentioned how this person was listening to this music, this rap music. And it was about money, about women, and about money and women and violence. And what a language. And I said, that is why the culture is like it is. We can't figure out why there's so much disrespect and crime and hatred. When that is your philosophy of life, what do you expect? You're going to treat ladies horribly. You're going to do anything you can to make lots of money because that's what life's about. And you're going to be very disrespectful to other people, especially people in authority, because that's what you've been trained. We choose your friends' wives as adults. We need to be an influence on those that are unsaved. That's yet the last point. But still, we have to guard our hearts. We have to be careful. Those people that we draw closer to us, the people that are going to influence us, we want those quality, good friends. Where's the best place to find them? Right here. That's why this is a great place to come, because you know, you could talk to any of the people here and say, you know what, even if you don't know them real well, you know, you can go up to anyone that's here tonight and say, look, can you pray about this situation with me? Why can you do that? Because you know they care about you. Can you help me with this or that? And they'll either can or try to help find out some way they can help you. That's the way this family works. It's a friendship that we must not take for granted. It's one that encourages us. It's there when you need them. They're honest, lovingly honest, and helpful insights as well. 1 Corinthians 15:33-34, speaking namely of the doctrine, says, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil lifestyles, evil friends will corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Says, some have come into your group and you've welcomed them as friends and you've allowed them to corrupt the way that you think in that chapter about the resurrection. We need to be wise and choose good friends. This is some good wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Along with that, we need to act as good, see the acts of good friends. What kinds of things do good friends do for us? Well, they do all kinds of things. We find in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, that they're honest. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We looked at that. That's not only their character, but what they do as well. They're willing to come alongside you. Jeremy would come to me, or I would go to Jeremy and come alongside and say, look, this is probably better to do. I remember up at camp last year, he was the game guy. He helped me out that way. And he was up there for the week. He was in charge of the games, but you know what? He also was my mentor. It was my first time there as a dean. And I didn't know. I'd been to camp, grew up at camp, and I was at camp the year before, but I was still a little fuzzy in all the little details that I had to be working on. And it worked out good enough, at least, that they wanted to have me back. Of course, you know, as a Baptist, once you're in a position, you're there for life. But Jeremy was there to give some advice. I'd say, well, you know, I'm thinking about this. He said, I don't know, that's a good idea. And Sherman, I said, well, yeah, I never really thought of that. Or I'd go to him and say, well, I don't know. You know, you got some ideas on this? And he said, yeah, why don't we do this? It's very helpful to have a friend there and honest to say, yeah, that's a bad idea. A good friend does that. A lousy friend just goes along with what you want to do. You've seen kids and they gather together and someone gets this really great idea that's not a very good idea at all. And they decide they're going to do that. And so you have all these lemmings following this leader. And they're going to go do this. And then they all get in trouble. And when you're a lemming, the nice thing is a follower, the nice thing you could do is say, he told me to do it. But the bad part is, Mom and Dad said, but you still did it. We need to make sure that we have those good friends that will help us that way. Be honest with us instead of just be our friend as long as you do what I want. They're faithful. In Proverbs 27, verse 10, it says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house on the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Here we find that a friend is someone important to have close by. Someone that is faithful. We need to make sure that we're faithful to our friends. And we need to make sure that we have friends that are going to be faithful to us. We're going to fail. They're going to fail. This is not about that. It's about what can I see in somebody else that I would consider a good friend. Doesn't mean that's going to be my only friend. But this will be a friend. They're respectful. They're respectful. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him. I like that verse. My wife comes in sometimes pretty early, and I'm not quite ready to get up. That's a good verse for her, for me to teach her. She knows that, sometimes a little grumpy in the morning. You know, we always need to keep in mind we're respectful of our friends, not taking advantage of them. Here it was showing disrespect by it being 5 o'clock in the morning. My wife, praise the Lord, my wife doesn't get me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, let's say, and there they didn't have doorbells. So they were banging on the door or hollering, hey, time to get up, neighbor, glad you're here. You're throwing pottery outside the window and trying to knock him out. We need to make sure we're respectful. We talked about this morning. We are a friend of Jesus Christ, and we need to be respectful of Him as well. The sad thing I've seen is sometimes people take God and they will put Him in a box and send Him off beyond the universe and make Him untouchable. The holy God that is absolutely untouchable, and so they show great reverence, but don't really have much of a developed relationship. On the other hand, I've seen where Jesus is my buddy. He's the man. He's the man upstairs. We get along. And really come to a point where we forget that He's also God and He needs respect. There's a balance there. Jesus is our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But we also need to remember He's God. Our friends are our friends, and we would call each other up and do anything for each other. But at the same time, we're also respectful of them. We make sure that, hey, if they helped us out with something, we return the favor. It's not a tit for tat, but you know, you show respect for each other that way. You don't have obligation to each other, but you love each other in that brotherly way. Finally, the unknown friend. What about that unknown friend? We have in our lives a circle of friends. We see here a man standing. And he's got, you see the different circles going out like a puddle. That man stands in that circle, and that's him and his life, everything around him. And in that circle would probably be just his family, his immediate family. Then outside of that circle would be the close friends that he would have. Those close friends that mean a lot to him. Maybe best friends. Sometimes we, especially as Christians, we don't enlarge our circles of friendship. And there's reason for that. When you get saved, your desires change. You became a new creation, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and actually it's 2 Corinthians. We need to make we've become a new creation. And so our desires begin to change. We want to be with God and God's Word and learn about Him. So we start going to church. Well, if our former friends, our friends were such that Sunday was the day that you lounged around. You all went over to somebody's house and kicked back, watched movies and drank or whatever you did. If that's the way your life was, but now that you've been saved, you're drawn away from that to other friends. Doesn't mean that they stop being your friends, but your desires have changed a little bit. And the way that you talk, and the way that your ideas of life change, it's naturally going to happen that you're going to slowly drift from those friends because you're not quite going to have as much in common. And you're going to have new friends. So that happens automatically sometimes it happens that we get in our mind that I have to be super spiritual. And the way to be super spiritual is to only talk to somebody who is a fundamental Baptist. If they're not a fundamental Baptist, and they don't go to my church, I'm not even allowed to talk to them because I am holy. But sometimes we get that mentality. I'm not... Really, I'm exaggerating there, you know, but sometimes we get that way. And we see the unsaved people, and we forget that even though we've been called out of the world, to be separate from the world, we're not called to be completely distinct and moved away onto a separate island. We are still in the world, and we need to minister to these people. We are not going to have as close relationships because of the vast difference between us as a Christian and them, because being a Christian changes all of who you are. And so there's going to be a little bit of distinction there. But doesn't mean you're reaching out, you're ministering to them, you're encouraging them, you're inviting them, you're sharing the gospel with them, building those ties with your neighbors. Building ties with those at work, building ties with those wherever you may be. We built a tie this afternoon, a short-lived one. Got a knock on the door, here, you can have this free. I said, all right, thanks. And then she says, mind if we do a demonstration? Nope. They come in and she did her, I'm a very patient man, her 1 hour or 1.5 hour demonstration. It was well done. And in the end, she says, you want to buy it? I said, how much is it? And she told me, I said, get out. It didn't go quite that way. The boys will tell you that. The demonstration was done. And we had a built during the demonstration, had a little conversation to build a friendship. I probably won't see them again. They found out I'm the pastor of the Baptist church over here. Will it make a difference? I don't know. God knows. He's got a plan. Next time, though, I'm going to make a deal. I'll listen to them if they at least listen to me. And I won't take as long as they do. Maybe. We can reach out and build friends. One of the reasons we don't is because of fear. We're afraid. We're afraid what they're going to think of me, the way I look, about me not having any hair, about what I do, or maybe the things that I believe. Maybe we're afraid they're going to, you know, not like us. And so we allow fear to run us. Did Paul say we're not given a spirit of fear? That spirit's not from God, it's from the devil. We find in the scriptures that we can make friends by being friendly. We need to show ourselves friendly to other people. If we're willing to reach out to other people, there's a saying that went, I went out to find a friend and I could not find one there. That's a sad saying, isn't it? I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. When our minds are set on us and what we want and what we expect and our own fears, our own hurts or pains, when our focus is on ourself, then of course it's not on God. And when our focus is on ourself rather than other people, what do? We get fearful. We don't reach out. Are we to be friends with the world and its philosophies? No. Are we to build relationships with unsaved so they can see who Jesus Christ is in us? Yes, we are. We need to be careful, certainly. Remember what Jesus did? The Pharisees were mad at him because he went and he sat down and he ate with sinners. A friend of sinners. And they were mad at him because who was this guy sitting, I'm going to put it this way, in real life for us today. He went over to that drug dealer's home and had supper over there. You know what happens then. Oh, he must be a druggie. He was not afraid. He didn't do the drugs. He was not afraid to be seen with sinners. He certainly was wise enough to not let them influence him the wrong way. He built relationships with people he needed to minister to. When we walk out these doors, you see it's actually a new sign, thanks to Gerald Hawk, goes across the top of the door. It says something that I'm not going to tell you, so you're forced to read it. Not now. When you walk out those doors, take your mind off of yourself and think about somebody else. You're going out to eat, maybe. Maybe not. We're going to have Sundays afterward. Nothing like two desserts. You're going out to get pie. And think about that waitress, not as the person who's all crabby from working all day. Think about that lost soul who may need a friend. Think about your grumpy neighbor who can't say two words to you without complaining. You know what they need? They need a friend. They need a friend in you, and they need the best friend of all, Jesus. You are the instrument to show them. When you're at school, when you're at your house, when you're at work, you should be the best man's friend. You should take the place of a dog. Be best man's friend. So that way you can minister to them. Share with them Jesus. They may not receive Christ, but they may be able to see him in you. Father, I ask that you would help us as we take a moment and just appreciate our friendship with each other and the friendship that we have with you. I ask that you would help us in a tremendous way, that we may look at the world around us, that we may set aside all fears and doubts that we have and recognize the needs of others. Help us to be friendly. Help us to show that friendship, not just to make earthly friendships, but so that way we may be able to share with them your great love as well. Father, I thank you for the friends that we have in this room, and I pray that your hand of blessing be upon each one of us and our friendships. In Jesus' name, amen.